From the United Kingdom, this is the Hawthorne Report. News and analysis from a white nationalist perspective. Insights and commentary that affect your lives. News for you, uncensored by the Jew. And here's your host, James Hawthorne.
Welcome to the Hawthorne Report, everybody. This is your news portal without the Jewish filter. Top stories. National Alliance chairman arrested. Labour admits voters turning to the British National Party. Wisconsin man erects Hitler memorial. Alessandro Mussolini wants her name to live on. And bigot exploits voter frustration. Top story, National Alliance Chairman Sean Walker was arrested along with two other members of the organization. Desert Morning News reports a U.S. District Magistrate judge said he will order the release of two men while they await trial on charges they engaged in racially motivated beatings in downtown Salt Lake. Meanwhile, reaction by both white supremacists and hate group watchdogs alike to the arrest of a third man, the leader of a national white supremacist organization, began to surface over the weekend. The good old Anti-Defamation League hailed the arrest last Thursday of Sean Walker, the relatively new leader of the National Alliance, as a victory against white supremacist organizations. The National Alliance founder, William Pierce, who was best known for authoring the Turner Diaries, which Timothy McVeigh used as a blueprint for the Oklahoma City bombing, died in 2002. Since then, Walker, who grew up in Salt Lake City, has taken control of the struggling organization. Walker, along with Utah residents Travis Massey and Eric Egbert, were indicted on hate crime charges stemming from his December 2002 beating of a Mexican-American man outside Oshooks and the beating of a Native American man outside Port au Call in March 2003 in Salt Lake City. Massey is also the Utah head for the National Alliance. In court Tuesday, United States Magistrate Judge Samuel Alba ordered the release of Egbert on Wednesday, did the same for Massey, finding there was no indication the men were a threat to the community or a flight risk. But if these two white nationalists were not a threat to the community, why did they arrest them in the first place? That begs the question. Albert did indicate he planned to keep both men on a short leash, ordering them to have no contact with gangs or racially motivated groups such as the National Alliance. The men are also ordered to have no contact with witnesses or victims in the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney Carlos Esquida argued the men were members of a notoriously violent white supremacist organization. The National Alliance has been blamed for 22 bank robberies, a shootout with police in Illinois, and one member was arrested for manufacturing pipe bombs. Esquida said the group also espouses the overthrow of the federal government and the systematic extermination of Jews and non-white people. Alba notes that Massey had no adult criminal history and that Egbert, also convicted for an assault with a knife and a beer bottle, had managed to stay clear of violating the laws since the assaults in 2002 and 2003. These arrests deal another significant blow to the leadership of the National Alliance, which has been racked by infighting and disorganization since the death of William Pierce in 2002, said good old Abe Foxman, ADL's national director. The allegations that Walker was involved in committing assaults on minorities are serious, if true, and demonstrate how violent racist ideology of the National Alliance only dehumanizes minorities, but often can lead to acts of violence. Come on, Abe, I don't believe that, and I really don't think you believe that. Chatter on white nationalist internet forums about Walker's arrest shows that many of them feel the charges are trumped up and that Walker is being brought before the Jewish legal system, as described by someone on a bulletin board for Resistance Records, a record label that markets white power music that is linked to the National Alliance. Watchdog groups, however, say that although the National Alliance was at one point the most organized and well-funded and dangerous white supremacist organization in the United States, it has since fractured after the death of its founder in 2002. Pierce, who died suddenly of cancer, was a physics professor at Oregon State. Since his death, membership in the group has declined from more than 1,400 members to just 200, according to the wonderful Southern Poverty Law Center. Federal prosecutors allege that Walker, Massey, and Egberg conspired in a campaign to make minorities afraid to appear in public, to work, or even live in Salt Lake City. Massey and Egberg have pleaded not guilty. Federal officials say Walker will be transported from West Virginia, where the National Alliance is headquartered, to Salt Lake City to face charges. A trial has been scheduled for August. And this goes back to the point where what happened with the Aryan Nations, when a black family inadvertently came onto the road leading to the compound of the Aryan Nations, and the security force fired warning shots over the family. This family takes the Aryan Nations to court for all sorts of horrible deeds, and Morris Lee's Deers takes the Aryan Nations to court, wins the case, and then Aryan Nations has to pay multi-millions, which they could not afford. Sleaze Deez goes in there, takes over the compound, end of Aryan Nations. This does not bode well for the National Alliance. The door has been opened for Sleaze Deez, and apparently he's quite intent to walk through that door. Blair's admits voters turn to the British National Party. Labour Party Chairman Hazel Blair says the British National Party made gains in May local elections because voters felt ignored by mainstream politicians. Ms. Blair was speaking to the party's ethnic minority task force in Leicester on Saturday. Ms. Blair said, "Extremist politics flourishes where mainstream politics leaves a vacuum. All parties must take the responsibility for this." She also urged the party to forge new links with communities to fill the democratic vacuum that the far-right group had exploited in some areas of the country. On streets and estates where people feel no one is on their side, that their views are ignored, where traditional parties take their votes for granted, then the British National Party can step into the gap, she said. They can pose as community champions. They can promise to make a difference to people who feel let down. The British National Party could, however, be turned back and driven out, though, through better organisation and by educating people about what the party stood for, she said. Ms. Blair's also insisted most voters did not like what the BNP stood for, arguing that it was merely a refuge for protest votes. But crucially, we need to remove the conditions in which they can thrive. We need to rebuild our local democratic institutions so there can be no democratic vacuums. We need a lively community spirit on every street and every estate. We need well-funded political parties. We need mainstream candidates in every ward. Only where mainstream democratic politics fail can fascism take hold. So we must not fail, says Ms. Blair. Well, the real fact of what's going on in the United Kingdom and Great Britain is in these horrible sink estates, as we call them, is where white working class people have been left behind by the so-called Socialist Labour Party. Socialist Labour Party was a party for white working people many, many years ago, not any longer. Labour has capitulated to the capitalists, and they are just basically a centre party. White working people have been left to rot. Unemployment is rampant among them. Housing, preferential housing has been given to asylum seekers. Preferential benefits from local councils are being given to Asians to upgrade their areas, to upgrade their homes. In the meanwhile, white working class people have been left to rot. This is why the British National Party is making inroads into white working class areas, and it will continue to grow and grow and grow. Wisconsin man erects Hitler memorial in Wisconsin, in his backyard, apparently. Theo, or as they call him, Ted Juncker, was a German soldier in World War II who believes his former leader should be honored. The memorial features paintings and photographs of Adolf Hitler, National Socialist flag, and American flag. Juncker believes the legacy has been misunderstood. The National Socialist legacy has been misunderstood. Never a truer word has been said by anyone. The former soldier, who was a member of the Waffen-SS, said the Nazi leader did not start World War II, never gassed 6 million Jews, and Juncker has invited the public to visit his Adolf Hitler memorial. Residents are not very happy. I said I don't want a Nazi memorial anywhere near here, said nearby resident Bob Cook. Local authorities are preparing for protests. The memorial was supposed to open on June 25th, but apparently because of Jewish pressure, insane Jewish pressure, go onto Google and type in Hitler Memorial, click news, and you'll see how many news stories from the Jewish media for this poor man. He has absolutely been vilified. His phone has not stopped ringing since this hit the wires. But I urge all National Socialists and white nationalists to indeed call Mr. Juncker and schedule if you're in the area of Wisconsin, schedule an appointment, go along, give your respects to this man and to this great memorial. It shows that this man is still brave even at the tender age of 87 years of age. Mussolini wants her name to live on. Alessandra Mussolini, granddaughter of Italy's wartime fascist leader Benito Mussolini, wants the law changed to allow her children to carry on her family name. Alessandra Mussolini's two children have their father's surname of Florini, but she said she and her husband had gone through a lengthy and expensive legal battle to allow the children to also use the Mussolini name. Italy requires children take their father's name, but Mussolini has the backing of numerous politicians to reform the law, and most recently a Supreme Court precedent. Italy's High Court called for an end to patriarchal rules and rejected the plea from a father for his son to use his surname. It said that since the man had not recognized the boy when he was born in 1997, the child could continue to use his mother's name. This judgment is enlightened, Mussolini said. It is recognition for woman and for motherhood. Good to see the Mussolini name there will be carrying on through the eons of time. 160,000 votes. Larry Darby receives 44% of the vote. An atheist who believes Jews and illegal immigrants should leave America if the country is to save itself received more votes in this year's primary than Ray Moore and George Wallace Jr. Montgomery lawyer Larry Darby received 44% of the vote, 162,628 votes, with all but one precinct reporting, compared with Mobile District Attorney John Tyson Jr.'s 56% in Tuesday's Democratic primary for Attorney General. I'm surprised I didn't win, Darby said. It got closer and closer to one toward the end, and I began to receive a tremendous amount of positive feedback from local leaders in the counties. People began telling me, Darby, you're going to win. Darby, who spoke to a white supremacy group in New Jersey last month, believes the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust has been grossly exaggerated. He also advocates putting troops on the Alabama border to keep illegal immigrants out and shooting them on sight if they try to evade. This report, which is posted on the Hawthorne Report link section in the quick shots, bigot exploits voter frustration. How could a Holocaust denier whose belief that multiculturalism is part of a global war on whites get 44% of the vote cast for the Democratic nominee for Attorney General, the highest law enforcement officer in the state? This editorial goes on to say, because his name starts with D and his opponent with T, so voters knowing little about either candidate pick the first one listed on the ballot. In some cases, that is probably what happened, but that explanation can't account for all the 160,000 votes that Larry Darby received. This is just, as I've said before, that people are now hearing our message. People are now wanting to put their frustration on the ballot. They want to put their cross next to our candidates' names, whether that's in the United Kingdom, whether that's in Germany, whether that's in France, Spain, Portugal, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, no matter where it is, in Russia, no matter where our white people is in our white lands, our people are ready and willing to vote for us. And this just proves the point. This man stood on a white nationalist ticket and he gets 160,000 votes, 44% of the vote. That should be a message to all American comrades, everyone in America. We need to get organized. We need to get into the Republican Party. We need to get into the Democratic Party. Wherever you are in the United States, which party will win is the one that you should join and get on the ballot. This should be part of the overall program in the United States. Let's get on the ballots of all these states. Let's get our people elected. Let's start moving the movement in the United States. It really is a travesty that where Europe is now growing, nationalism is growing, people are voting for us. In the United States, it's still moribund. We need to energize the movement in the United States, and this should give good news to everybody that people are prepared to vote for us. And the kicker to this story is that Mr. Darby is an atheist, yet in the Bible Belt of Alabama, he received such a huge vote as that. Bleak view of Zimbabwe's decline, the BBC is reporting. Remember, Zimbabwe used to be called Rhodesia. It was once the breadbasket of Africa. What? 5-10% of the population were white people. They fed half of Africa. Now, after 23 years of Mr. Mugabe, who I refer to as an ape masquerading as a president. The BBC reports the number of airlines landing at the state of our airport have drastically dwindled from more than 23 a day to less than 10 in the last few years. Zimbabwe has become a pariah state in the West during the last 4 years, with the international community imposing targeted sanctions on President Robert Mugabe's government. A once self-reliant people is now subjected to humiliating and degrading food handouts, or worse, left to scavenge. Now, these once self-reliant people, as this report states, were self-reliant under the minority white population who fed them. The country was once one of the world's largest tobacco exporters until the turn of the millennium. All this was turned on its head when the ZANU-PF government in power for the past 23 years embarked on a reckless and economical suicidal land redistribution program. With virtually all international credit lines cancelled or in limbo and debt mounting, Zimbabwe resembles the tragic yet arrogant Titanic that the fateful icy day when the unthinkable happened. Yep, the Titanic hit the bottom just like Zimbabwe is right now. Mr. Mugabe lives well in his official state house sanctuary with his young family poles apart from the maddening crowds of the resettlement districts. And I've put this report also on the Hawthorne Report links. Some little tidbits for you here. This is what Zimbabwe, formerly Rhodesia, has become under the tutelage of the nigger. A day in Harare felt like a throwback to some sort of Darwinist prehistory where only the fittest survive, something I had only read about at A-level biology. After driving him to Papua General Hospital, Zimbabwe's largest public hospital, he was told Terence could not be x-rayed because the film had run out. For 3 days, the boy writhed in pain as Mr. Zimutu performed financial gymnastics to raise $200 US needed by a private clinic to pay for the x-rays. Mr. Zimutu's monthly salary is well below that amount, with average working Zimbabweans living less than $80 US a month. It cost $100 US to fill a Toyota 4x4 Land Cruiser petrol tank, the car of choice for well-off Zimbabweans, including Mr. Mugabe and his government officials. For a basket of groceries with just basic necessities, one would need at least $35 US a month. poverty has risen to astronomical levels over the past 4 years. Again, Zimbabwe, when it was Rhodesia, the white population, 5% of the population, fed not only that country, it fed half of Africa. Old saying, take a nigger out of the jungle, you can't take the jungle out of the nigger. It's as simple as that. They don't have it. Commander Rockwell said that. Blacks don't have it. And here's quite proof. Zimbabwe and South Africa, they are finished as countries. Africa is a mess. White people, I'm of the opinion that we should leave Africa to the Africans. Let them live in their squalor. Let them live in their poverty. Let them live in their own feces. Let that continent and those people, if they are equal, just let them go and see what happens. Let's not send them support. Let's not send them any money. Let's not send them any food. If there are equals, they should be able to, one of the richest continents on the planet still, they should be able to do it on their own. But as we all know, as white people all know, and they call us racists for saying this, the blacks can't do it. They can't do it because they have a lower IQ than the average white man. They are a race of people screaming towards extinction, just like the white people are. Extinction is at the end. That's the hole at the end of the tunnel for the black race in Africa. If we didn't subsidize them with all these billions of dollars that we do every year to prop this sick continent. If the blacks want help, us white people are quite prepared to come in there and once again feed them. Dutch paedophiles, Independent reporting, is to launch a political party. This absolutely sickened me. There's only a brief report on the Hawthorne Port links because this is a subscription. Paedophiles have tested the limits of Dutch tolerance with a plan to launch a political party to push for a cut in the legal age of consent and legalization of pornography featuring young people. The group, which is due to be registered this week, said it wants the consent age dropped from 16 to 12 before having it scrapped completely. It also proposes to make child pornography and sex with animals legal. I'll say it again, it also proposes to make child pornography and sex with animals legal. The move to set up the NVD party, which says it stands for Love of One's Fellow Man, Freedom and Diversity, has provoked condemnation from politicians, demands for a government ban, and protests from the public on websites. One of the founders of NVD, Anne van der Berg, 62, told the Dutch newspaper The Telegraph that the fledgling party has been swamped with telephone calls from concerned people. We have a lot of explaining to do, he admitted. No kidding. This Holland is a country where its army has a trade union. Holland is a country where its soldiers, their hair falls on their shoulders for the most part. There's no discipline. Holland is a country without discipline. Amsterdam, all the parks are full of people shooting up heroin. And this is a country where political correctness is absolutely rampant. And this is why such an evil political party is able to try and launch itself. And upset on that one. The friendly neo-Nazis, is the Spiegel is reporting. The National Democratic Party in the news again. In entire neighborhoods of Berlin and in a number of regions in the states of Brandenburg and Mecklenburg, West Pomerania, right-wingers, particularly the right-wing political party, the National Democratic Party of Germany, NPD, have been able to develop a stable infrastructure of support. In doing so, they have filled a vacuum left by mainstream political parties and churches, both of which have been slow to reach out to the former East Germans. According to political scientist Dirk Bostel, Evangelical Bishop Wolfgang Huber's plea to pay more attention to young people and not surrendering a single one of them. sounded like a cry of desperation than a plan. Well, the National Democratic Party, NPD, are, and always will, go for the youth, because the youth of any country is the future of a country. The report goes on. The NPD has long since filled in the gaps left behind by the collapse of the communist East Germany, with its strict structures and regimented daily life. The Nationalist Party has quietly but consistently made itself indispensable to reunification's victims, to welfare recipients, and even to the frustrated middle class. Neighborhood groups, cultural clubs, and information centers have been set up and are used to inject constant doses of, so Der Spiegel says, right-wing propaganda into the minds of the populace. The friendly right-wingers are active on many fronts. The wife of the National Democratic Party's district leader, Andreas Thiessen, is a member of the local parent-teacher association, and Pastors is the co-initiator of a grassroots campaign against a coal mining project planned for the region. Digging local roots is what we have to do. The state's spokesman for the Berlin branch of the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution calls these kinds of activities the ABCs of right-wing extremism. The NPD's efforts started paying off a long time ago, in 2005. The party's membership grew from 700 members to 6,000 members in just 12 months. The state says the bait the party dangles in front of society simply works really well. Well, when a country is degenerating, as Germany is, and all our Aryan European countries are, through mass immigration, degeneracy, materialism, guess what? An organization, a political party that is against all that, will grow. Europe is fighting for its basic survival. White Western civilization is fighting for its basic survival. And these organizations, these political parties, will continue to grow, and eventually power will be achieved. HIV, the Daily Mail is reporting, positive refugee jailed for raping a teenage girl. An HIV positive refugee who was granted asylum after falsely claiming he was homosexual was jailed today for raping a 17-year-old girl. Zimbabwean Gabriel Vineski, 45, also had consensual, unprotected sex with a 14-year-old girl who bore him a child. The former pub landlord, who claimed he was homosexual so he could stay in Britain, was on bail for having sex with the girl when he violently raped the 17-year-old at his flat. Sentencing, the judge said Vineski was such a high risk to women that he jailed him under public protection legislation and said the minimum term he would serve would be to 6.5 years before release could be considered. Vineski's victims and the child he fathered did not contract HIV, which is good news. He had fled to Britain in 1996 and was given leave to stay because he said he was homosexual and subject to intimidation in Zimbabwe. But he had a long-term girlfriend. The judge mentioned that this evil coon would be deported if he was ever released. There, let him go back to Zimbabwe and starve to death. Vineski was found guilty of rape and engaging in sexual activity with a 14-year-old in a trial at Winchester in April. The jury was told that he met the 17-year-old at an arcade in Aldershot, and she and a friend went back to his flat. He then took her to his bedroom and raped her violently, causing internal injuries. The girl managed to escape only when alcohol that had been ordered arrived, and she and her friend fled and called the police. This ape told the detectives he had used a condom during sex when he maintained was consensual, but he later changed his story and admitted he had not used a condom because he had got carried away. The court heard the rape victim was forced to give evidence against her attacker, not even knowing whether she had contracted the disease. It was only at the end of the trial she was given the all clear. This individual had consensual unprotected sex with the 14-year-old in May 2005 at a Farnborough flat, despite knowing the girl's mother. And this story goes on and on and on. Again, I'll post this on the Hawthorne Report links. You can read this disgusting piece of filth and what he did to our white women. This is, as we say on VNN, this is typical nigger behaviour. This is what you do when you let an ape out of the zoo. This is what they do. They rape, murder and kill our people. These are savages, non-humans. We should ship them back to Africa and let them starve to death. That's the policy from the Hawthorne Report. Everybody, I'd like to thank you for tuning into the program this time. This is a brief one. I'll see you next time on the Hawthorne Report. Stay tuned for more from VNN.
The Hawthorne Report is a production of Vanguard News Network Broadcasting.